It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Co-hosting the show with me twice a month, say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, it just seems like I was here a few weeks ago.
Well, that might have been because you were here a few weeks ago.
There you go. Well, I'm happy to be here. Now, I have to get something out of the way here, because being the resident sportscaster on your show, you know, I have a flawless record. I make predictions, and I haven't been right once.
But, it has been pretty flawless.
Well, it's a perfect record one or the other. The Indy 500 is next Sunday, and today they finished qualifying. So I will predict that the winner of the race will be someone from Chip Ganassi's team. And those drivers are Alex Palau from Spain, Takuma Sato from Japan, Scott Dixon from New Zealand, or Marcus Ericsson from Sweden. That's right. There's not going to be any Americans hardly running. But one is my newest, my favorite new race car driver name. This kid's a 21-year-old rookie, and this is his name, Stingray Rob.
That sounds like a good name for a racer.
It's his born name. He's starting second to last out of 33 cars, so I don't expect much, but I just love his name. Anyway, I'll report back next week. Brennan will be sure to remind us how I did on my prediction.
Oh, I'm sure we won't let you forget how you did, Jim.
Judging by his luck, Stingray's going to run right into the first turn, not even making it. He's like, I was just too nervous. I don't know what happened.
Well, historically, I've done well predicting Indy winners. I went about a third of the time I picked the winner. So that's pretty good. The sport has changed so much that it's very, very hard. It's so competitive, and these guys are running so fast that anything can happen, and usually does, is what Yogi Berra once said. So let's move on to some other things. Now, this is a burning question that I've had, and I finally decided to bring it up on your show, because you're a Christian apologist, and so you have to study these things and be knowledgeable about these things, Bob. So, if we follow the science, which I don't know what that means anymore, but if we follow the science, this is what we've been told for years. There have been at least 5 major ice ages in Earth's history. Now, between these ice ages, there have been ice-free events, even in the high latitudes. And these are called greenhouse periods. In the current cycle, temperate as well as severe periods occur. The colder periods are called glacial periods. The warmer periods are called interglacial periods, because they're in between glacial periods. The glacial periods and interglacial periods coincide with changes in the Earth's orbit and the tilt of the Earth's axis. That's scientific reality for the people that study that stuff and don't care about being politically correct and selling things. So those ages are basically determined by the Earth's orbit and the Earth's axis. Now, we have been in an interglacial period for around 11,700 years. 11,700 years we've been in this interglacial period. The next period won't begin for at least 50,000 years. This is what they tell us. Now, this is where my burning question is. The first commercially successful internal combustion engine was created around 1860 AD, 11,000 years into the current cycle. My question is, how did glaciers melt without the aid of man's influence and automobiles?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. That was going to be my response. How in the world did the ice age melt when human beings were in here with their carbon emissions?
Yeah, and it's an honest question. It really is an honest question, I think.
It's kind of an honest question that could get you kicked off of YouTube.
Well, the fact checkers will say, no, the first engine was in 1861 or something. You know, that's how they do that stuff. So anyway, that's just been something that's been bugging me, and I finally put it into words and brought it to your show, and hopefully someone listening out there will be challenged by that, or at least have some food for thought. And you can do this, folks. You can look that stuff up. It's all in there, but just ask people questions. When they start talking about the current global warming as man-made, you say, well, how do you explain glacial ages without man and his machines?
It won't matter. They will consider it a blasphemous question because the science, so-called, of global warming has become a religion. Yeah. And I'm not saying the world isn't warming. I'm saying the jury is out as to whether it's being caused by people. And we've had warming and cooling trends before. Yeah. So should the government be taking over our lives over it, telling us what to eat and what to drive and whether or not we can have a refrigerator or an air conditioner or an oven? That's
Yeah, it's a control thing. And then that's, just in human history, there has been warming and cooling. But on the big picture, for people that believe all of that, that's the reality. We go from one to the other. Now, personally, and this is another thing, I've mentioned this before, but I think much of what has been attributed to glaciers could have also been affected by a global aquatic catastrophe.
Such as the flood?
Well, no. Global aquatic catastrophe. You say flood, right away you're going to get sick.
Oh, that's right. So, even though every ancient culture has their own flood story, and we have top of our highest mountains, we have fossils of marine life.
Yeah. But I use the term global aquatic catastrophe.
Well, that sounds much more PC, Jim. Good for you.
So, anyway, that's fodder for another show. Maybe we'll do a show about the flood some night.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Okay, so we're moving right along here. Page two, as Paul Harvey used to say.
And now the rest of the story.
I used to listen to that guy all the time. I loved that guy.
He was the number one radio show. Back when people thought Rush Limbaugh was the number one radio show, Limbaugh himself came over the air and said, no, actually the number one radio show is Paul Harvey.
And I found Paul Harvey a little more palatable. And he used, he used some humor. But today, he wouldn't make it. He'd be run out of the business. So
all he had to do is use the term man and woman, and he wouldn't make it. It's not hard to not make it today.
Yeah, I remember he said some things that now would be, they'd crucify the guy. For instance, I remember one time he said, if you move to this country and refuse to learn the language of the country, that's the same as your spouse dying and you get remarried, but you keep a picture of your first spouse on the nightstand.
And you know what's so funny is all over the world, America's condemned for wanting its own national language, for wanting its own borders. The countries condemning us have their own national language and their own borders.
Yeah. You know what? Everywhere I've traveled, I've had to learn how to speak the native language just to order a glass of water or find a bathroom. You're expected to at least try. And we're going to get to the border a little bit later, folks. But, I don't know any other countries that are just saying, no, everywhere I go, I have to show my passport to cross the border. Even Canada or Mexico or, friendly nations, I have to show a passport. And by the way, since here we go on the rabbit trails. In order to vote in Mexico, you have to show an ID and prove that you're a Mexican citizen.
In order to get into the Democratic National Convention, you have to show ID. You just don't have to show that same ID to vote.
Yeah. So there we have our own standards, or someone is making up standards for us that everyone else would consider ludicrous.
And the people at the top making this all up don't really believe this drivel for a moment. They just know it can divide the country, thus destroy the country, thus they can take over the country. And if any of you out there think I'm talking conspiracy, well, try to understand. I am.
You know what? Conspiracies are real. Yeah, and as I said earlier about the other, I think so much of it is about control. I think power and control is the most addictive thing that can get into a human system. And when people get in power, they don't want to lose power. And they'll do whatever it takes. They'll say whatever it takes. They'll make people disappear or whatever it takes in order to keep that power.
Or they'll stop counting the election results at midnight and wake up in the next morning with a whole different result. maybe even something like that?
Well, we might touch on that subject in a little bit. And a decent segue. Remember the last time I was on the show, I suggested that Tucker Carlson hook up with Elon Musk. I thought that'd be a great combination.
Yes, and you've probably looked into this more than me, but I did hear that there is something going on between Tucker and Twitter, TNT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the buzz is that he's going to launch a show, a TV show, on Twitter.
Originally just about having a couple of sentences as a tweet. Right. How have they evolved to the point where they're streaming TV shows?
Well, I don't know, but that's what I've been hearing. And I got nostalgic because I remember when I first was coming on your show, you used to do a little Twitter segment. And you played
Let's All Sing Like the Birdie Sings. Yes. Our Twitter update.
You might need to bring that back.
Yeah, we may have to. Twitter's so much in the news. We may just have to bring that back.
But don't use that song. I'm going to push for using Rockin' Robin.
Oh, yeah. That is a better song. Yeah.
Tweedly deedly deet. I think that would be just a little more peppy, a little more up tempo. I hope that's not the stump the song.
In all the years I've gone to Disneyland, it was only a few years ago that I went into the Tiki Room for the first time.
And the birds
were singing that song. And I thought it was such a lame song. I'd heard it before, of course, but I'm hearing it in the Tiki Room. And I just had to make sport of it. What could I say?
That was famous because that was actually the first audio animatronics.
Yeah, you have to look at it like that in those days, because by today's standards, it's pretty corny.
I fell asleep in it the last time I went there. We took friends, and they wanted to see the Tiki Room.
Were they still your friends after you showed them the Tiki Room?
No, I fell asleep in the middle of the show. With all these blaring birds and stuff. And I was snoring so loud that...
The birds had the worst foreign accents. I mean, talk about not passing today's political correct test. I'm amazed they still have it there.
Well, they're having to change a whole lot of those things. Disney's in trouble, and I don't...
Well, now they'll have birds that are identifying as cats or something like that. That would be... The ride of the future for... All right, my friend, hold with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And speaking of conspiracy theories, and we were, I always love a good conspiracy theory, but I especially love it when it's more realistic than what the media is telling us actually has happened. So we've got this thing going on with the whistleblowers for the January 6th insurrection. And we've talked about that incident on the show before, but now there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out. People are coming out and saying, wait, that's not how it went down. And then we had some, you know, that's what got Tucker in trouble, was releasing some video that really contradicted what we've been told. So the judiciary chair, Jim Jordan, said the FBI put out this letter the night before we were going to have a hearing. And the FBI disclosed to the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday that two of the scheduled witnesses, Marcus Allen, not the football player that played at Lincoln High in San Diego, Marcus Allen and Steve Friend, had their security clearances revoked earlier this month. What a coincidence.
Is that supposed to keep them from testifying?
Yeah. So according to a letter from the acting assistant director of the FBI, Christopher Dunham, it was because, now just listen to this, I'm going to say this slowly and clearly, they had their clearances revoked because they espoused an alternative narrative about the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021. They espoused an alternative narrative.
Translation, they told the truth.
Yeah, and if you don't agree with the spin that's being shoved down our throats, license revoked. I'm sorry, 007, no longer have a license to kill.
Now, how would that keep them from testifying, though? Can't they still be called in to testify as people?
They're just trying to
destroy their credibility, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how far does this power grab go and the corruption? There was a time when I was a kid, I used to watch the FBI show on TV. And
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Yeah, and all them guys. And the Tommy Lee Jones character in The Fugitive. He was a marshal. That's right, he was a marshal. But the FBI, it used to be, that seemed like, you know, it was a pretty good deal, right? They're there to investigate.
I wish Quinn Martin was our attorney general instead of the guy we have now.
My first visit to Washington, D.C., I signed up for a tour of the FBI building. And I was so impressed at how they investigated and they cracked crimes. And
Jim, in all fairness to the FBI, they probably still have a pretty good-looking building. It's the agents inside of the building that are the problem.
And I would recommend, if you can get in anymore, take a tour. By the way, folks, if you ever go to Washington, D.C., contact your local representative or their office. You won't actually talk to the person that got voted in, but you can talk to a secretary or somebody there and tell them you're visiting Washington, D.C., and you would like VIP passes to anything they can put you on. And we've done that. We did the FBI building. We did the White House, and we did the Bureau of Engraving. And you can shortcut. What it is, it's like having the fast pass at Disneyland or something. You don't have to stand in the long lines. Anyway, we did that, and I was very impressed with the FBI. So I grew up when I was a kid. FBI, they were heroes. They were good guys. And now you got all this goofy stuff going on, and I'm sure that the rank and file guys, men and women that are out there and, you know, trying to enforce the law and do things, they're probably good people with good motives, and they went into that field because they wanted to help. But it's the people that get in power that are corrupt, and it's the influences from politicians or business people that could lose money or whoever. And I'm not sure that everything is getting investigated properly.
Probably not, and we probably should take a tour to see Washington, D.C. before it becomes replaced with Great China Wall 2.0.
Well, you know, yeah, we could do a show on that. China owns so much real estate and buildings in Washington, D.C., it's frightening how much they own in this country. Another show. We could do just a show about being slaves to China. You know, I think we're in very deep, and it's another one of those things I don't know how much truth we're ever going to be able to find out until something very dramatic takes place. I don't know what
I think a lot of dramatic things have taken place, and we've already learned a lot of truth, and people just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and that's troubling, isn't it? good, decent Americans just kind of turn a blind eye, or they plug their ears and go, la, 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 la.
Well, they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be called racist.
Yeah.
So they take the path of least resistance.
Yeah. It's kind of epidemic, I think, in our culture. And maybe more so in the big city areas, particularly West Coast and East Coast. You get into Middle America, and I talk to people, and most people don't buy all that stuff. But they don't want to be trolled about it either. They just want to go to work and feed their family and enjoy life.
Well, most of us would rather just go to work and feed our families and enjoy life, but we've got to pay attention to what's going on, or we're not going to be able to do those simple things anymore.
That's a fact, Jack. Anyway, I don't know how we get off on these things, but it just happens. Whenever I come on your show, we just start running and it goes everywhere. Tonight, we're all over the map again and covering all kinds of things.
Well, it's a big map, big world out there.
Yeah, it is. The last time I was out there, remember, I came on the show. I was in the studio with you, and Leslie booked a little Airbnb for me while I was staying out there, and I stayed in Casa de Oro, an area that I'm very familiar with down in Spring Valley. So she booked this through an agency. Well, I get a knock on the door, and it's the owner of the house, the landlord, his little, you know, studio attached to their home. And he introduces himself, and he starts talking. And I asked him for directions to somewhere. He said, you go down out 94, and then when the freeway ends, there's a stoplight. I said, oh, down by Skyline? And he said, yeah. Do you know Skyline? I said, yeah, that's the first church I ever attended. I said, but then I moved, and because my friend's dad was the pastor at Faith Chapel right up the hill here. And he said, you went to Faith Chapel? I said, I was on staff at Faith Chapel for 10 years. He says, I was on staff at Faith Chapel. And this guy, and he actually became the pastor, Bruce Greco. He was the pastor, but he came in 2 years after Leslie and I moved. And so isn't that an amazing thing? And someone said, boy, it's a small world. And it hit me. It is a small world from God's perspective. It's a very small world from his perspective. And once in a while, we get a little teeny glimpse of how things work. So that was a great, so I went to his church that Sunday. So anyway, that was just an interesting story. You just never expect those things. You don't see it coming. And so it was a little happy surprise on my last visit to San Diego.
Jim Barrier will give you a story in minutes to spare. Okay, you're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and now the anticipation is over. It's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Oh, well, well, Jim, we meet again, haven't we?
That was exceptionally long applause. Tonight? That must have been saved from a time somebody made a real disparaging Trump remark.
For sure, for sure.
You know,
all right,
you know, that's... The real reason I come on the show is because that's the only time I ever get applause.
And it's really a re-editing of Trump's anti-applause.
All right. So today, I decided to throw another curveball. There is a reason why I am going to be playing this, because it is a special birthday for a group. So without any further ado, I know you're going to get this one pretty quickly, so we'll just listen to the song pretty fast, and then I know you'll get it. But here we go.
And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life.
So can you guess where that was from?
I'm glad you didn't play the whole thing. I don't think it would have passed the FCC regulations. I'm glad you turned it down just in time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it must have been from a musical.
You're kind of close, but not in real close.
Was it? I don't know. I have no idea. Was it Mary Poppins?
Can I take a crack at it?
Oh, absolutely.
That's got to be Monty Python's Life of Brian.
That is correct. It is Monty Python's Life of Brian.
The guys are hanging on the cross and they're kicking their feet, singing, always look on the bright side of life.
Now I remember that.
Yeah. So the reason why the reason why I brought it up, today is the birthday of when Monty Python, the comedy group, has first been formed in 1969. So it's been 54 years ago. Gentlemen, and they are still performing together every so often to this day. So very, very well accomplished group.
True story. A number of years ago, we're going back into the 90s, when I was doing open air evangelism at the University of Minnesota, and I was out there every day in the free speech area. The Atheist Club decided to get together, and they were going to make sport of Christians. And they handed out leaflets inviting everybody to a showing of Life with Brian. This was before I got up to speak. I walked up to the guy handing them out. I said, I love Life with Brian. And I told the Christians, you guys should all go there, sit in the front row, laugh your heads off, just show people that Christians can have a sense of humor. It was a hilarious movie.
Yeah, and I'm glad that Christians can have that sense of humor and say, you know what, this is all just for gags and giggles.
I know they're not a Christian group, Monty Python, but I don't think they were trying to be sacrilegious. I think they were just trying to be funny. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I may still call you ladies and gentlemen, there were a few racy scenes, so it's not for everybody, but for Pete's sake, it was hilarious, that, and of course Holy Grail, another one of their classics.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's the classic.
My favorite line is from Holy Grail, where King Arthur's talking to God and God gives him a thought and he goes, good idea, God. And God goes, of course it's a good idea. It was great.
My favorite is, you know, when they're going to cross the big chasm and the guy would ask a question, and if you couldn't answer it, you'd fly off into the...
Oh, that's right.
And he said, what is the velocity of unladen sparrow in takeoff?
Yeah.
And he said, well, African sparrow or European sparrow?
And he got it right. The guy says, how did you know? He goes, well, when you're a king, you have to know these kinds of things. And then one of them said, wasn't there one where he said, what's your favorite color? And he goes, blue. No, I mean green. And they tossed him off.
Yeah. That was a great scene. So Okay, well, you stumped me on that, but that really was a curveball.
Well, you get into the movies, you're more in my territory.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure I could find that song on iTunes or...
Well, that song was not invented for Life of Brian, I don't think. I think that was an old song long before Life of Brian came about. Yeah, they were just using it.
Yeah. My favorite line, by the way, from Holy Grail was, she turned me into a newt. A newt? Yeah, I got better.
Yeah, he's all grown man standing there. I got better. It's crazy.
Oh!
When I was in seminary, we would always take a study break at our seminary apartments, Denver Seminary. We'd take a study break at 9:30. Everybody would pile into my apartment, and for a half hour, we'd watch Monty Python's Flying Circus. And I grew to hate the old guy with the beard at the end, because knowing the show was about to end meant we had to get back to the books, and it was always depressing.
Yeah, there was some great stuff.
It's good to know how the future pastors of our country were brought up, isn't it?
And for people who are tuning in for the very first time to the Bob Siegel Show, please forgive me. I bring an element of silliness that isn't always on this show. But, you know, you got to have a sense of humor. If you don't have a sense of humor, man, life's going to be even tougher. So, okay, that was a great Stump Jim Barrier quiz. I promise I'll try to do better next time.
And I'm so glad, that even though the song was old, the lyrics were rewritten for that movie, and good call on Brendan's part turning it down just in time.
You know, he's not the best in business for no reason.
That's right.
That's from a movie. That's a line from Major League and Harry Doyle. Anyway, oh boy, can we regroup? Oh, I wanted to mention that. It took me a minute to remember, but the name of the church I went to is Summit Church. And so it's just when 94 kind of takes a Campbell Road, takes a hard right, and heads off into the mystical mountains there. It's just up there at a school. So there are a lot of good churches there. And I didn't hear a plug for Skyline yet tonight, but that's a great church too. Now, I need to ask you this, because I don't live out there anymore, and I try to avoid problems and stuff. When I go to San Diego, I want to enjoy myself and see my friends and eat some Mexican food and maybe go to the beach. But I need to ask you, what's the situation at the border there for you guys?
Well, I don't follow the local news much. Brendan could probably tell you. I follow national news more than local. Nothing that's been alerting anybody in the fields I walk in.
From what I understand, it's not as bad as Texas. Texas is horrendous right now in that border area.
Well, a lot of the wall that Trump built, a lot of it had already been built in San Diego, I believe, even before Trump. Yeah. Isn't that right? And then So, you know, we're not in as bad shape as other places.
But it's funny how I would also state that mainstream media has actually been very, very critical of Joe Biden's border policies as well, actually stating that they're actually worse than Trump's. I think that's very quite interesting. So it's negative on all sides of the spectrum, no matter what side of political spectrum you are. You are very, very negative and critical against him for that
Biden
and many, many other things.
Biden probably
thinks
he lives on the border of Japan, so you got to cut the guy a little bit of slack.
Yeah, probably.
You know, and you're right, Texas, it's a mess here, but they're doing everything they can. And our governor is not shy about taking action. So he's sent National Guard troops down there, and they've put up the razor wire, which is really maybe a little effective. You know, all they have to do is throw a rug over the top of it. But he's trying to do what the federal government won't do and should do. So we're doing our best here. And people live here are pretty uncomfortable about the whole thing. And I mentioned that a few shows back. I cited some cases of people who have lived near the border and their ranches and stuff, and how their animals are being indiscriminately killed and people litter. It really has created a mess, but it's escalated a bit, at least in news, because the end of Title 42, which was not a permanent solution, but it was something just to try to help the crisis a little bit. And there was a lot of concern that there was just going to be this surge and that a half a million people were just going to storm the gate and come pouring into the country. Now, it has escalated, and I want to give some statistics about that. But the border is a big problem, especially here where I live in Texas. And it is there where you live, too. I mean, Tijuana has always been a tough situation, because I remember way back 30, 40 years ago, you know, every night they'd catch people and take them, let them spend the night, give them a meal, give them a shower, and put them on buses and take them back across the border. And so people were coming across so they could at least get a meal. It's always been a problem there. But with the current stuff going on, it's something to be concerned about. Now, here are some stats. According to the Customs and Border Protection agency. In April of this year alone, just in the month of April, Border Patrol agents encountered 16 people who were on the FBI's terror watch list attempting to enter the U.S. illegally. These are terrorists, people on the FBI's
Well, they'd have to be stupid to try to enter it in any other place. Why not go where the pickings are green?
But that's concerning that potential terrorists are in the mix in this thing, and they can hide in the mess. They can try to get through. And those are the 16 that they caught just in the month of April. That's staggering. That's more than the combined totals of 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 combined. Didn't have that many potential terrorists, people on the FBI's terrorist watch list. They didn't have that many in 4 years, and we had that much just in April. So I think things are escalating based on that. Here's another one. There have been 98 encounters at the borders between ports of entry this year so far. 98. And we're not even halfway through the year yet. That equals the total for the entire year last year. And in the years 2018 through 2021, there were a total of 28. There have been 98 already this year. So this, if you put that on a chart, on a graph, it would look staggering. This thing is escalating to a very, very dangerous level. We're talking about people who are on the FBI's terror watch list, folks. Not just, you know, there are all kinds of people trying to get in for various reasons. And I've been honest about it.
Are they on the terrorist watch list above or below the PTA members and parents that go to PTA meetings?
Oh, no, you know, don't mess with the PTA. You don't want to offend those people.
All right, Jim, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. For one more segment, say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Just to sum up those statistics, encounters at the borders between ports of entry involving people on the FBI's terror watch list In the previous 5 years, it averaged out 21 a year. We're on pace right now for 235 in 1 year. That's just mind-blowing. It should startle people. It should cause concern. It should scare you that that's the kind of thing that's happening right now. Now, the Border Patrol people, and I know some of them, they're good people. They're doing their best. They're understaffed. They're handcuffed sometimes because of the government. But they're trying. I'll tell you something else. In Texas, here where I live, South Texas, and I'm 3 hours from the border, Mexican nationals who have moved here legally through proper channels, people of Hispanic descent.
Yeah, they all want to see the border.
They're very unhappy that this is happening, especially people who worked hard, got the paperwork.
Yeah, they did it the right way.
Yeah, and now we're just welcoming people, and we're giving them free health care. We're letting them vote. We're just open the door and give them a blank check. And there are people, they're ticked off. I'm going to say that. That's the phrase I'll need to use for this show. They're ticked off. They're not happy about it. So it's a huge problem. Now, I know we only have a few minutes left here. You know, we've talked about global warming. We've talked about conspiracies. We've talked about Tucker Carlson. And we've talked about the FBI and the January 6th insurrection. I did the little quote thing with my fingers when I said that. And the border crisis. We haven't even talked about the economy, which is having problems. All of these things could cause you to fall into despair or just want to run and hide. Or, you know, I have friends that are, you know, the people, they call them preppers, and they're waiting for the apocalypse. They're storing up ammunition and dried goods and stuff. And this is what my counsel is. If these things are alarming to you, and they should be, it's what we've been saying over and over and over again. We need a genuine revival, and it starts with God's people. It starts with pastors. It starts with people who know how to pray. And if you don't, you need to learn how to pray. Then we need to call upon the name of God Most High and ask Him to save us, beg Him to save us, pour our hearts out and say, God, if you don't spare us, if you don't help us, where else are we going to find help that we need? And I say this all the time. I vote. I get involved. I have a friend who I told you about him. He recently got elected to the state legislature here in Texas, and he calls me regularly and asks for prayer for certain bills, the things they're trying to vote or pass, or concerns that he has. I am involved, and I vote every chance I get. But that isn't enough to turn this country, I'm afraid. I remember when Ronald Reagan got elected and the evangelical community thought it was revival. No, it was just a better president than we'd had in a long time. And he did good things. He had good policies. But Ronald Reagan was not the savior, nor will Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or any of those guys that I might vote for. We need something bigger, more powerful, more supernatural and eternal to be our help. And that's the Lord our God. So I know it sounds like a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying that, Bob, when I come on this show. Of all the things that we're doing, and you're doing such a great work, alerting people to the realities in our culture, and you do your homework, and you write books, and you teach a class at church, but we need even more than these efforts that you and I are trying to make. We need God to intervene. So I'm making another appeal to people that know how to pray, to do so more fervently than you've ever done. If you're not a believer, I challenge you to investigate, and the host of this show can answer a lot of your questions, or at least point you in a good direction. There is help. There are answers to those questions if you're not a believer. But if you are a believer, it's time to put up or shut up, I think. And so that's my appeal. You know,
well, like the old saying from the novels goes, these are the times that try men's souls.
Yeah. And I have hope. I've always had hope in the American people. We're resilient. We've been through all kinds of tragedies and wars and assassinations and pandemics and depressions. We've come through those things, but there is always that spirit behind it. There is always those people of faith who get on their knees and seek someone higher and more intelligent and holier than we could ever be. So I'm just going to keep making that appeal until we see a revival. And when we do, folks, oh, man, this show is going to be totally different. We won't have to talk about some of the crazy stuff that's going on.
Speaking of revival, have you been keeping an eye on that Asbury revival? Because I have not heard much about it recently. I did a podcast on it recently and even asked somebody who's been kind of in the middle and in the know, at least connected to, and he said it had gone silent. I'm just curious if you've heard anything.
Well, what happened, there was pressure from the, it's a small town, and the traffic was just out of control. There was no parking. And all of these people, curiosity seekers, or even legitimate people that wanted to be in a revival, just poured into the place, and they couldn't handle it.
Oh,
and,
yeah, but a genuine revival was supposed to go beyond the phenomenon in that town.
Exactly. Well, and here is some, this is what has happened, Bob. There have been a number of other college campuses where similar things
have happened. Yeah, I did hear that. I did hear that.
So, kind of like, oh, I'm trying to find an analogy here. When you blow on a dandelion and all those little seeds disperse into the air and go and land somewhere, that sort of thing has happened. And there have been reports around the country of small outbreaks, little pockets. Someone recently just told me about the church they were in and people were coming to Christ. That's a seed of revival. When people start finding the Savior, that's a good sign.
Oh, that's certainly good to see. We certainly need major, major revival, whether it comes on the heels of that one or it starts organically again, but we certainly need one.
Yes, we do. And I believe we can see it. I haven't given up hope. So,
all right, my friend. Well, we'll have you on again next week. I'm looking forward to it. All right. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.